Welcome, Sean Lane. Busy. You're in the office this week, Sean.
Yes, sir. Busy week.
busy week indeed. And of course, you are senior vice president of, you know, Morgan Stanley. And again, nothing to snigger at this week in terms of not just stock markets in the United States, but throughout the world. A bit, it is a bit shaky. Let's talk about that for a minute. What's your read? This is probably a first for many people in your own industry and in your own profession, handling this one.
Well, I mean, I can't get into too much on that with compliance with my firm, but it's obviously this is the third virus we've had since, you know, in the last 15 to 20 years. There was the H1N1 virus. There was SARS. I'm trying to remember the name of the other one. So this has happened a number of times. And similarly, although the market has fallen much faster in the past 10 days than it did on those previous instances, it's just something that's very hard to quantify, but, you know, the U.S. economy always works it out. At the end of the day, the markets tend to always come back.
Yeah, and I think that probably we would all agree that whatever about the markets, that this is of tremendous, this coronavirus is of tremendous concern and worry, not just here, but around the world, and hopefully that news will get better. I think it's too bad that it's becoming somewhat of a political football here in this election year, but that's a story for another day. But indeed, it is causing worry. Now, can we go to your own home county of Galway? Talk about a storm. Wow. That one.
Yeah.
It's not just the bachelors that are being that are staying inside. It's the good news is that apparently it's traveling pretty rapidly and should be out of Ireland, but
Storm yeah. George, I think, is that what it was being called, or I'm trying
well,
to remember.
It is, but now that you bring it up, I was quite willing to call it Storm George, but it's actually pronounced Jorge.
Oh, Jorge, the Spanish. Oh, okay.
See that one there
yeah.
now. And nothing to do with the hay that indeed in your growing up with, word was already out that you were considered somewhat of a Yank in Ireland. Not much good on your...
Not much good with fork in the hay.
Yeah, yeah. That's they kind of ran you out of there and sent you back to where you came from. But tell us a little bit about growing up in Ireland and what prompted your parents to return to Ireland in the first place, which was wasn't very popular at the time, or that took a lot of courage, if not cheek, to return to Ireland?
Well, they both, I mean, my mother grew up between Mayo and Dublin, and then my father was from Galway, where we ultimately went back to. Well, my father came over to the States about the same time as you, 58 or 59, mm-hmm. something like that. And then, you know, it was in the late 70s they determined to come back to Ireland. And, you know, it was very much a change, but obviously very, very beautiful and a wonderful place to grow up in the countryside in County Galway, or I'm sure any county in Ireland. It was beautiful.
Yeah. What age were you when you went back?
I was 10, and then I turned 11 a short while after.
Yeah,
that.
And what was that as a, was that a culture shock?
Oh, big time. I mean, if you recall, in the 70s in Ireland, there was one TV channel.
Yeah.
RTÉ Éin. And I remember my grandmother saying when RTÉ2 came out that it would ruin the minds of the children of the nation to have two TV channels. They'd be stuck inside all day watching television.
Yeah. Well, of course, when your father decided to return to the devil television in that sense. Television was an advent of television. The only television that I remember seeing in Ireland, I mean, you were lucky that you had the one channel. What we had was a very fuzzy screen, and I don't say we because we didn't have television in our neck of the woods. But you'd know that television was coming because, the radio shops would have a television sitting outside as a kind of a guess what's coming next, and all you could see was the flutter of the lines. Maybe once in a while you might see an image, and for those who are seeing it for the first time, figure it was a moving statue or something, but that's a story for another day. Tell us, St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York, some might be taken aback by the fact that the St. Patrick's Day, New York St. Patrick's Day Parade, is older than the United States. It came before the Declaration of Independence.
You're right, yeah. 1762.
Wow.
14 years before the Declaration of Independence. It's our 259th parade.
Yeah. And the parade, if we go back to those early years, it was considered somewhat to be more of a protest. It had a political undertone as well as paying tribute to the patron saint of Ireland. An amazing history of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade. And as you will probably remember, in Ireland, it wasn't considered to be a festive occasion with parades and, jolly events. It was considered to be it was a holy day of obligation. Which meant it was a bank holiday, it was everything. It was a somber, day in Ireland, that's what it was. It wasn't connected.
Well, also, you weren't allowed to celebrate Irish faith, heritage, and culture for a lot of the time. You know, when we started, the first parade in Dublin was 1931.
Yeah, that's amazing in itself.
It is.
Yeah. The St. Patrick's Day parade has had a great history. Sometimes, not so much today, but we wouldn't have to go that far back to recall that there was always somewhat of a controversial sideshow to the St. Patrick's Day Parade, in the sense that a lot of people, who did and who wanted to attend the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City, had a different notion of how this parade should be celebrated. And as participants, we remember the onslaught of the green plastic hats, the association of the St. Patrick's Day Parade with drinking and rowdiness and whatever. That was indeed very much cleaned up over the over the decades, and it is now in it gets the due consideration, and for that matter has not lost its affiliation with the good saint himself, starting of course as the parade does and passes St. Patrick's Cathedral. what is how is the day itself celebrated, and what is the significance of the kickoff to you know, with Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral, and how has that grown through the years?
Well, you know, and that's you make a very important point there. that Mass was originally a Mass for the fallen of the 69th Regiment. So 69th Regiment have led the parade, I think, for over 165 years now. And then it obviously has, since it's still a Mass that very much honors the fallen of the 69th Regiment, as well as those currently active in active service, but also has grown to be, you know, a big part of the parade itself.
Yeah.
So the cathedral is filled with, you know, the 69th Regiment on the right-hand side as you go up to the front, and then, you know, people from all over the Irish community as well.
Tell us a bit about the 69th Regiment, and, of course, you are indeed a senior board member of the 69th Regiment Trust. But when we say 69th Regiment, can you give us a synopsis of that and how that 69th Regiment becomes the most prominent, of all regiments, and how Irish was it?
Yeah, well, when it started out, it was, during the American Civil War, they commissioned an Irish regiment. Michael Corcoran was the original commander, and then Thomas Francis Marr, a Waterford man. And the fact of the matter is, at the time, it was very easy to get the poor Irish who were coming off of the boats starving into the American military. They'd give them a few dollars, and they'd sign up and give them the uniform and send them off to war. And that was, you know, obviously coming from abject poverty, as so many people were, it was an easy thing to do. But then they also found that they were incredible fighters. And they, you know, acquitted themselves very, very well. Obviously, in the Civil War, there was Irish on both sides. But then the 69th Regiment, because it was an Irish unit, became known as the Fighting Irish, and became one of the most heavily decorated regiments in U.S. history. There's 7 Medal of Honor recipients. And two-thirds of all Medal of Honor recipients, as you might know, are of Irish heritage. And some of it was a symptom of the desperation, of course, that people were coming from, that the military was seen as a way out and a way to get acceptance in the community. And then the commander of the Northern Forces also, some of the readings I've made suggest that he did not like the Irish, so he sent them to the worst possible areas, Fredericksburg, Antietam. You know, they served in the front, very, very front lines, and were unfortunately killed in great numbers and obviously distinguished themselves with great valor as well. And then after the Civil War, well, even I would say before, probably in the 1850s, it was 1852, 1853, I think, that the 69th Regiment started to lead the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And that was very much an armed escort, as I'm sure you know, Adrian, because there was a lot, very heavy anti-Irish and anti-Catholic sentiment in certain pockets of New York. So the 69th led the parade as an armed escort, and to this day, since then, they've led the parade.
The parade and the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade, indeed, is the world's largest parade, it's the world's oldest parade, and it draws, of course, a great number of visitors to New York. But also the bands, the organizations come from all over. That custom indeed makes the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade has a much broader reach than one might expect. Some people are of the opinion that it has to do with Manhattan, never mind the city, the five boroughs. But actually, when was that instituted in terms of broadening it to, I assume, first the tri-state area and then beyond?
Well, that's really been going on for decades because, as you said, I mean, we're the oldest continuous parade. I mean, Boston would allege they started a year or two before us, but then they stopped. But, you know, it's certainly become almost like a pilgrimage for anybody going to any St. Patrick's Day parade to want to come to New York. So we do get bands. I mean, we have 173 bands this year and 225 marching groups. And as you said, we get people from France and other parts of Europe and Asia, and it's just considered to be like a pilgrimage to come to the great grandmother of them all, I guess, the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade. We do get people from all over the world constantly looking. There's a number of groups every year that just want to tick that off their bucket list to march in the New York Parade.
Yeah. And how is that organized? Obviously, rumor has it, and I believe it is very true, the day after St. Patrick's Day, on the 18th of March every year, there is the committee has to sit down and start planning for the following year.
Well, yeah, we do take a week or two off, but you're right. By April, certainly, we're already talking about the next parade. It's kind of a year-round effort for a handful of us, for sure. And then, obviously, a small army in the last few months in the lead-up to the parade. There's an army working on it.
And also, of course, you have a great number of visitors from Ireland in particular who wouldn't miss the St. Patrick's Day parade. The politicians in particular, they must have put the names into a hat to see who the lucky person will be to come to New York City. That might be a little different this year, considering that there is an election, and the election is over and done and dusted, but still don't have a formation for the next government. Tell us about the legend of St. Patrick's. I know your mother came from Mayo, and as such, did you have an awareness, or was there much made of, let's say, the significance of St. Patrick climbing the Reek? St. Patrick's, it was sometimes known as the Holy Mountain, his spending the 40 days and 40 nights and fasting and prayer at the pinnacle of the Reek of Kilpatrick. Was that something that in growing up in Ireland you became very aware of, or didn't it compete with Knock a little bit?
It did a bit. I mean, I didn't, I have my uncles and a number of friends who did Kilpatrick many times. Not something I did myself, but, yeah, Knock was my grandmother's, my mother's mother from Mayo, Bridie Varley, Kennedy was the married name. She lived in Ballyglass, and Knock was a great love of hers. That was her idea of the height of a good time, was to go to Mass and Knock and maybe get a cup of tea somewhere.
Yeah.
On the way home.
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day Parade, New York. A great, great choice this year for Grand Marshal. An amazing man himself in Jim Callahan.
Yes. I mean, he's the president of the International Union of Operating Engineers, and he's done a tremendous amount to fight for. He represents over 400,000 people, one of the largest unions in the country. And as you know, the Irish have a great, and the parade has a great tradition in union history. I mean, we've got firefighters, police, teachers, nurses, sanitation, operating engineers. And then throughout history, you look at the births of the unions, and the Irish were right at the forefront in this country with the Molly Maguires, Mother Jones,
yes,
Jim Larkin, James Connolly. All great names that, you know, some Irish and some Irish American that did tremendous work in workers' rights for unions in the United States.
Great. And now the aides to St. Patrick's Day Grand Marshal, I think it'd be worth. Sometimes, did you not get the listings and the publicity? We would like to do it for, you know, for the aides to the Grand Marshal, because they do represent a great number of counties and organizations. If you don't mind, I want to rattle off some of them here for New York County.
Yep.
Thomas A. Mm-hmm. Byrne, Bronx. We have John P. O'Malley, Queens. Mm-hmm. Margaret M. Costello, Kings. You have Mary O'Hara, Richmond. Noreen Henson, Rockland. Lillian C. Murphy, Nassau. Thomas Costello, Orange County, you have James O'Malley, Suffolk County, Steve Lemansky, Westchester and Gurren Haw, United Irish Counties, and Hearn, United Irish Counties again, Tom Tuffy, the outgoing president of the United Irish Counties, and then you have Grand Council of Emeralds, Eddie Bowles, Knights of St. Patrick, Tom Reynolds, the aide at large, Pauline Turley, Archdiocese of New York, Michael Deegan, and New York Police Department aide is Desmond Stroke, and of course the Fire Department is the Reverend Christopher Keenan. If we left any out, I'm sure we'll hear.
I think you got them now. I was looking at the list here, and the interesting thing is Reverend Keenan, his father was taught by my great-grandfather back in Ballandarine in the National School in 1910.
Wow.
Yeah, we figured that out when I was talking to him for a few minutes, and then he said he was telling me his father went to the National School. And
yeah.
It's funny. Well, that's any Irish crowd.
It is a tremendous honor, indeed, to be selected as an aide to the Grand Marshal. It's one of the, it's probably one of the most significant awards that can be bestowed. And
you're absolutely right. It's one out of every 12,000 people in the parade get to be an aide.
Wow.
So it's a huge honor. And as you said, Adrian, you quite rightly and very graciously said, they are tremendous honorees themselves, and they've all done incredible community service to be able to be selected as an aide.
Yeah.
And to be able to highlight them is very kind of you and important to mention them. We also, I think, as you might know, we do a TV special. We started that last year. We do a TV special every year with the Catholic Faith Network on the aides to the Grand Marshal. It's actually airing today, and then it'll be repeated quite a few times over the next few weeks.
Yes.
On the Catholic Faith Network at 4:30 today.
Okay. All right. Do you have any other commercials you'd like to slip in while you're at it?
Well, we do have the gala coming up March 11th.
Yeah.
And we've got two honorees. We've got Jim Callahan, who's obviously the Grand Marshal of the 2020 parade. And somehow, I don't know how this fella's name got here, but Adrian Flannelly is our co-honoree. He's going to receive the St. Patrick Award for service to the Irish community. I think you started on air the year I was born, Adrian. not to point some of those. You've been serving the community a long time.
yeah, it does.
And thank you so much for, and I mean, seriously, though, obviously you yourself have done an incredible amount of service to the community. You're a big proponent of immigration and also the rights of the Irish and immigrants in New York and
well, I thank you, and actually, I have a tendency, you know, to insert some humorous tongue-in-cheek, but for this one, I'm going to stay out of it, because it's a huge honor, and my concern, of course, is, you know, that Jim Callahan, he's a big fellow, you know, he really is. And one elbow from him, and I would be landing. I could land in the middle of next week. But
well, if you stood on your wallet, you'd be a lot taller than me. So.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, there's humor for you, Sean. the foundation, and your vice chair, of course, the chairman being Hilary Byrne, that is a tremendous story in itself, and relatively new, because if we go back over, you know, now the centuries, it was always a mystery as to how the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City, how that was funded, and what was the plan B in the event that the running of the parade, which becomes obviously more expensive every year, how was that going to survive? Where was the, you know, the reserve account? There wasn't one.
You're absolutely right. It was hand-to-mouth every year, where they would just spend almost the entire money that they raised every year, and now we have a surplus every year. But as you say, I believe we started working on the foundation about 9 years ago and then brought it into fruition, and now we have a surplus every year. So we're slowly looking to, you know, build fully a formal foundation and then be able to do – we've started to do scholarships, and that's obviously wants to be a big – ultimately, we'd love to have be able to do several hundred scholarships a year. We're doing 10 right now, but, you know, as we go forward, we're going to continue to add.
Right. And, you know, and obviously – it was a good idea to develop a rainy day fund, too, because, you know, there's no certainty in the absence of the St. Patrick's Day Foundation for New York City, you know, that a year might come sometime in the future where, you know, it will be much more difficult to keep up with the rising cost of running the parade.
No, you're absolutely right. And we've been very fortunate because the foundation, you know, since we started, has been greatly embraced by the community, people like yourself. And we won't mention that cousin of yours, but he has been very helpful.
Who is that one now? Let me think. Cousins. Let's see. You know, we have 100 cousins. Let me see.
Oh. You do? There's hundreds of you guys.
Yeah, and they all showed up last year for what was it, and did a great
for the third O'Dwyer who shall remain nameless, the third O'Dwyer who was grandmother.
Brian O'Dwyer, and indeed, yes, if we want to talk about the greatest honor that can be bestowed on an Irish or an Irish-American, it would have to be, you know, Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And so for, you know, Jim Callaghan.
Well, let's not forget that your daughter Eileen is Grand Marshal of the Bayside Parade this year. So we have to mention that. And well earned. She's done an enormous amount of community service, Eileen.
You know, for the odd time, you know, that she would listen to the program, it would be my luck if you were listening and I didn't bring that up. Thanks very much.
Well, you must be very proud. I mean, Eileen doesn't. She helps us. She's enormous help with the parade as well. She's super organized. And she obviously was a big part of the reason why Brian's turn at the helm as Grand Marshal last year was so successful. She did so much work behind the scenes for us, really, and for Brian. She was just extraordinary.
Now, that's enough. This is my year. I can make
I'm sorry. You're the honoree this year. Enough about her. Enough about you. Let's talk about me.
Yeah. Jeez. And besides, you know, she doesn't have a radio program, and she hasn't been trying to look for a decent job like her father for 50 years. You know, I mean, that's
that's true. That's true. And her number one job is taking care of her father at this point. So
yes,
you're the one who gets to grade her on that.
Anyway. Yes, we are delighted, obviously, that Eileen is a Grand Marshal for the Bayside St. Patrick's Day Parade. Sean, I know that, again, the work involved in putting this together, it's not just a small committee. The number of you know, volunteers who are involved in this for, you know, for a lifetime here, they also deserve. They're the quiet volunteers who are just honored and happy to help out in, you know, in terms of, and it's very regulated. The jobs are not just any old job. The categories of those volunteers, those who make this parade happen, is just tremendous. It's
great. Oh, it really is. There's well over 100 core volunteers every year, and they're self-starters. You know, I couldn't possibly start naming them because if you'd forget somebody, but they're extraordinary, wonderful people. They look for nothing else other than how can I help. And as you said, they're professionals. They really know how to get stuff done, but they're all volunteers. It's really, you know, from the journal committee, the parade committee, the various organizations, United Irish Counties, the Men's and Ladies AOH. Yeah. There's just so many organizations that make this parade a success, and that's the reason why it's lasted, you know, to its 259th year, is because of the enormous amount of community support that we enjoy.
Again, congratulations, and to all of those, you know, who have done this for a lifetime. As you say, they don't do it for the glory of it. And if you want to talk about a rain or shine event, it's St. Patrick's Day Parade, with the exception of a Sunday, is always celebrated on the day itself. The St. Patrick's Day Parade this year will be held on Tuesday, March 17th, and get back to work there.
Yes, well, the only thing I'll add, Adrian, is it's the first time in the history of the parade we're having a female starter. A woman is going to blow the whistle for the first time, Patty Ann McDonald.
That is fantastic, and again, what a great choice. Again,
yes. Well, thank you for all of your help and all that you do for our community. I really do mean that, Adrian. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm a small cog in a big wheel, but thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And, friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. Sean Lane there, chairman of the St. Patrick's Day and St. Patrick's Parade and Celebration Committee, which indeed run the largest, the oldest parade in the entire world, and happy to be associated with them, as indeed many others are. We